And now it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Most conservatives thrilled when John McCain chose Sarah Palin as his running mate. Columnists praised the energy she brought to the ticket and her own maverick credentials. A few conservative columnists asked about Palin's experience from the start, and now, after three television interviews, several wonder if she isn't out of her league. The one gathering most attention comes from the forum established by William F. Buckley himself on the National Review website, where former Palin admirer Kathleen Parker writes, "It was fun while it lasted." We'd like to hear from supporters of Governor Palin today. Let us know why she's your pick. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Syndicated columnist Kathleen Parker is the author of the book Save the Males, and she joins us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And why did you like the Palin pick at first?
I loved the whole idea of Sarah Palin. Her story was fantastic, and I liked the idea that she was completely unexpected. She sort of turned the whole feminist idea of what a female candidate looks like inside out. And she had all these other qualities that we all admire. She is a maverick. She does have a record in her own state of challenging the establishment. So she looked very good on paper, and she looks good otherwise. So she's an appealing candidate, clearly a rising star. I think we were all willing to give her the benefit of the doubt, and did, and then did again, and then did again. And finally, given the little bit we really have to go on, her performance in these interviews has just been very disappointing, and I think clearly indicative that she is over her head. I think she was plucked too soon and thrust on the national stage before she was ready, and that's unfortunate. I feel sorry for her, and I feel bad about being the one to blow the whistle, but I just felt like it had to be said.
Mm-hmm. What about the interviews particularly bothered you?
You know, there's no dishonor in saying I don't know, or answering a question by saying, look, of course I don't have foreign policy experience. That's not part of my job description. But what I do bring to the table is thus and so. But instead, she tried to sort of bluster her way through, and she was frankly incoherent. Some of the quotes are just, I listened. I didn't just read transcripts. I watched and listened. And I just, you know, I cringed and just felt this poor woman has no idea what she's talking about. Now, I've heard all the possible explanations, such as she's been over-managed and perhaps they can turn this around in time for Thursday. I know, having been through media training myself, it can be paralyzing. And there's a Free Sarah campaign afoot. Please let her be herself and mm-hmm. she'll do just fine. We will see. But my sense, based on what she has said so far, is that she's going to have to do something fairly miraculous on Thursday to make people feel comfortable seeing her in the role of the president. And unfortunately, she is being subjected to a high level of scrutiny. But unfortunately, McCain's age and his health make that necessary. She's not just running for VP. She's running for Heartbeat Away.
And Thursday night, of course, the vice presidential debate in St. Louis, Missouri, where Joe Biden and she will square off. She has been protected, and some say coddled by her by the McCain campaign, protected from just three interviews and no press conferences so far. And there was the, difficult situation at the United Nations last week.
And none of that inspires confidence. Clearly, why are they protecting her, and why does she need special accommodations? That's just simply poor strategy on their part. They should have had her out front early on with, let's say, relatively friendly audiences, the talk radio groups mm-hmm. that would love her anyway, and let her get her feet wet that way and sort of hear herself and figure out what she's comfortable talking about and what she's not capable of talking about.
And if she makes a mistake here and there, well, that's not exclusive to
one. Right, talking more is better, actually.
And it's not exclusive to one vice presidential candidate.
No, in fact, she's got some stiff competition from Joe Biden. But I have a feeling that when it gets down to the content, he's got, 30 years on her? I mean, he's certainly going to be better able to answer those questions than she.
If she's not ready to be president of the United States, isn't this an indictment of the judgment of John McCain and the people around him?
Well, it certainly does raise questions about their judgment. And I don't think it's any mystery that they selected her because they thought she would help them win, clearly. But there was insufficient.
It certainly did energize the base.
It did, absolutely. And good for her for being able to do that. But she did. They were not careful in their vetting. That's been pretty well established. And but let me say this. You know, my criticism of Sarah Palin is not an endorsement of anyone else. It's simply I'm calling it as I see it, and that's where we are at the moment. I'm not employed by the GOP. Some of the criticism aimed at me has been phenomenally both vicious and amusing. The amusing part is that they say, well, you're clearly not a conservative, or you're clearly, you know, a traitor to the Republican Party. Well, I'm not employed by the Republican Party. And as for my conservative qualifications, you don't have, you know, being conservative doesn't mean you have to leap into the darkness.
Ballots are printed. Voting starts in some places this week.
It's problematic, isn't it? It was always implausible that she would drop out. Probably, I don't know if it's impossible. I won't say that. I haven't researched that part of it. There are mechanisms in place because, obviously, if a person dies, for example, you have to figure out a way to fill that ticket. So nothing's impossible. Implausible, yes.
Now, Tom Eagleton, of course, dropped off the Democratic Party ticket some years ago when
McGovern ran.
Political problems. But that was considerably earlier in the process.
Well, true. And we got our vice presidential candidates very late in this process. So we've had just a very little bit of time to evaluate Sarah Palin. You know, there are other reasons. Everyone says, well, if she drops out, it's suicide for McCain. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. That's for others to determine. But she, look, if she did drop out, it wouldn't be McCain firing her. He can't do that, clearly. But she could find reasons to leave. She's got plenty of good reasons to leave.
Spend more time with the family.
Well, absolutely. And she can beg having been ignorant. Nobody knows what it's like until they're actually in that spot. So she's there now. She says, look, this is more than I signed on for. I've got this baby. I've got this grandchild coming. I've got more to do than I can possibly handle. So she can legitimately bow out. And given the economic crisis, you know, maybe McCain could say, I really need some first-rate help, and I'm gonna move on to someone else. I'm sorry to see Sarah go. I love her, and I want her back. But for the moment, we need to deal with this. So these are all fantasies of mine.
And as you've noted, I suspect you've been getting a lot of email.
I would say 200 to 300 an hour, and that's you know, that I may be underestimating. Now, it's been a phenomenal onslaught, and I would say I feel like I'm under siege, and I've got, you know, the far right who is not being very Christian toward me, and the far left who is, for once, they've paid me a compliment or two, but always qualified with, hey, we knew this all along. What took you so long? Anyway, it's been interesting, but you know what? The reaction to this column, I think, is so strong and so passionate for two reasons. One, I said what everyone's been thinking, and two, the truth hurts. Everybody, I think, they feel that this is true, even those who still want her, and it's painful. They feel it's a reflection on them as well, and so, you know, they're attacking the messenger. That's not without precedent.
Some might argue, though, she came under extraordinary attack, some of it unfair, and that this would reward that kind of politics.
Well, she came under unfair attack from the left initially, and I came to her defense. I think I've written 5 pro-Palin columns. I did everything but haul out my little cheerleading pompons. But, yeah, some of that was most unjustified, very, very personal. But I think the picture has become more clear now, and we see Sarah Palin not so much as the anti-feminist, which were, I think, the earlier objections, but as a person who's just simply not quite ready to fill the president's slot should that become necessary.
We know you've got to run. Kathleen Parker, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Kathleen Parker is the author of the book Save the Males, with us here in Studio 3A. She's also a syndicated columnist for the Washington Post Writers Group. We still want to hear from supporters of Governor Palin today. Let us know why she's still your pick. Our phone number in Washington, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And let's begin with Jerry. Jerry with us from Winchester in Connecticut.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Great. I just have a couple of comments. One, I lived in Alaska for almost 15 years on Kodiak Island, and am quite familiar with, you know, local and state politics there. I welcome a fresh perspective from Alaska's governor, even in the role, limited role of vice president. How can Ms. Parker claim that Sarah Palin lacks experience when Senator Obama has 147 days on the job, and you know, his resume prior to that was as a community organizer.
He did serve some time in the state legislature in the state of Illinois.
Okay, well, they're all, you know, limited experience and could be almost compared to to Governor Palin's experience, you know, if one wanted to make that argument that, you know, she lacked the experience. And it's also difficult, I think, to answer questions off the cuff, you know, on topics perhaps that you haven't had time to explore or form an opinion on yet. But I do trust her to make the right decision and to form the correct opinion, you know, when faced with difficult problems. It's battlefield politics. And, you know, often, you know, the best person suited for the job is selected in times of crisis. And I believe that that's what we've done, and that was the right decision.
So if
comments offline.
All right, Jerry, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. We want to hear from Sarah Palin supporters today. If you've seen the interviews on CBS and the interview on ABC earlier this month, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Shada on the line. Shada with us from Quincy in Florida.
Yes, hi. I am a Sarah Palin supporter 150%. I think that it's about time we have someone that is going to be in the leading of this nation that actually keeps her word. We are so tired of politics and politicians just saying one thing today and another tomorrow. And I believe that Sarah Palin has what it takes. People are criticizing her. However, she is taking on all this fire. And I think she does outstanding while all the bullets are going her way. And I don't believe she's going to bail out. And the reason I say that is because it's not in her makeup. I believe that she is a maverick, like she says to be. And I am so excited that she's now in the picture. A lot of people I know are excited. And I think that the left wing is just, they can't take it. They can't take someone like her with integrity, with a backbone, and a woman. And on top of that, she's beautiful. And what is wrong with that? So, go Sarah Palin.
Thank you very much for the call, Shada. We're getting some emails, both pro and con. Jennifer in Tucson, Arizona, the fact that Sarah Palin actually made it to the position she's in reflects negatively on John McCain's judgment and makes me ashamed to be an American. Bud in Whitestone, Virginia, Sarah Palin is grossly unqualified and unprepared for the nomination, but it is Senator McCain and not Governor Palin who most deserves blame. The nomination is an affront to the country, anyone wanting to seriously put country first. Governor Palin has shown herself based on her fundamental lack of experience, but based most importantly on her own misplaced and unearned self-confidence to be a high-risk nominee, undeserving of the honor and not suited for the office. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to Tom. Tom with us from Ypsilanti in Michigan.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to call. I'm not a supporter, actually, of the Republican ticket, but I just wanted to say that it seems to me that it's character and not necessarily experience that both sides should be arguing, like Republican and Democrat, because to me, Sarah Palin kind of represents somebody who, in her own party, was a maverick. I hate to use that word, but she bucked up against the Republican power brokers in Alaska and I think showed some real character. And that's what if I had to pick somebody to be the president, it's not going to be who knows the president's name of Latvia or whoever. You know, it's going to be somebody who I think actually has the inner character and to lead. And I think Obama has that, and I also think Sarah Palin has that.
So if it came to the point, if Senator McCain and Governor Palin were elected and something terrible happened, you'd be comfortable with Sarah Palin stepping into the job of president?
Well, only in the sense that I think that as different questions came up that faced her, she's somebody who at least I think I would have a little confidence could face those questions and say, all right, you know, I'm going to think about what a good solution would be and react hopefully with her intention to aid America and not just her party, unlike, you know, the whole Bush clan.
Okay.
All they thought about is party. And it seems like at times when she's seen injustice in her own party, she's fought against that. And I also can't believe that Kathleen Parker actually suggested that she use her baby as an excuse to pull out of all things. I can't believe that she would say for a woman to use that excuse when the whole argument has been, you know, men never get questioned about their children. Why should women? So I was aghast that she actually suggested that Sarah Palin use that as an excuse to pull out of the race.
Tom, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Troy, and Troy's with us from Iowa City in Iowa.
Yes, a couple questions here. Who would be a better candidate? And to the previous break, the banking system is the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is bankrupt. That's why they need the $700 billion.
Troy, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Again, if you're joining us late, earlier this hour, the House of Representatives voted to defeat the Bush-Paulson bailout bill. Just 66 Republicans voted in favor, more than twice as many voted to oppose. 94 Democrats voted to oppose the bill as well. Here's an email on the question we're talking about right now. This is from Bill in Nichols Hill, Oklahoma. She, Palin, is the only one of the four national candidates who has not been part of the gathering financial storm. Don't you think she will surround herself with people knowledgeable when she is in office? Who in the world has all of the answers at their fingertips? And let's see if we can get Selene on the line. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes, it's Selene Escalante from Winchester, Virginia.
Go ahead, please.
My comment is, didn't the United States also elect a governor from a very small area called Little Rock, Arkansas? Didn't Bill Clinton do a job for the United States? So why can't Governor Palin from a small area of Alaska do just as good for the United States?
So you think
offline. Yes.
So you think you'd be comfortable if in necessity called, she'd be called on to be president of the United States?
Why not? Bill Clinton did just as fine of a job just being governor also.
Thanks very much for the call, Selene. You're appreciate
very
it.
Welcome.
Thank you all who called and emailed, and that's the opinion page. If you'd like to see Kathleen Parker's op-ed piece, you can go to our website at npr.org/blogofthenation. Stay tuned for more news today on the defeat of the bailout bill in the House of Representatives and find out what happens next. It'll be all the news on All Things Considered, of course, many other news as well. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News in Washington.